Now, remember, there are three levels of mentoring. Intensive, occasional, and passive. The more to the left of your paper you go, that is, toward the intensive level, the more important these three dynamics become. The more to the right of your paper you move, toward passive mentoring, the less important these three dynamics are. Now, why is this the case? Because the more intensive mentoring relationships have as their goal change, growth, and development. These individuals are more serious, they are more dedicated, and they are more committed to reach their goals than someone in the passive level. When these three dynamics are seriously taken into account, the intensive relationship can be transforming. Since the occasional and passive levels involve less commitment, they do not require the same amount of intensity from each dynamic. Each level will produce varying levels of attraction and responsiveness and accountability. Intensive mentoring requires the highest degree, while the occasional and passive levels can have very low amounts of accountability. For the most successful mentoring relationship possible, the three vital dynamics of attraction, responsiveness, and accountability should be present. In other words, what we're saying is, to get the biggest bang for your buck, to learn the most, the intensive type of relationships help an individual do that because it is intensive. It has a high level of accountability, and so there is inspection going on with progress. And if there is no progress, then we talk about it, and we ask why. Because we are having our fingers on the pulse of the mentoree. He or she is serious, and the mentor is serious, because the goal is change, growth, and development. Now, this is not to say that the occasional and the passive levels are unimportant or not helpful, because they are. It's simply to say that the greatest amount of learning has the highest potential in the intensive level of mentoring because of its very nature. Now that we've familiarized ourselves with the three levels of mentoring, let's examine the functions a mentor might play in each of the levels. And let's begin with the intensive level. It is intensive because the relationships in this level tend to be very intense, and they tend to be much more deliberate, and they tend to have much more accountability. The mentoree pursues serious change, growth, and serious development, which requires a more intensive atmosphere. this level is most successful when the three vital dynamics of attraction, responsiveness, and accountability have a high degree of presence. Within the intensive level, there are three types of mentors or functions a mentor may entail. And they are discipler, spiritual guide, and coach. Let's begin with the discipler mentor. We are probably most familiar with this type of mentoring. Go into any Christian bookstore or into a seminary library, and you will find a plethora of books on discipleship, from study guides to discipleship aids. And for most, what comes to mind when discipleship is mentioned is a new believer's Sunday school class that teaches the basics of the Christian life, such things as Christ's lordship, financial giving to the church, prayer, Bible study, and witnessing are the choice items on the menu. It meets for 50 minutes once a week with very little or no accountability whatsoever. Sometimes one person will meet with a new believer one-on-one for discipleship. The new believer takes home a booklet, looks up scripture, and fills in the blanks for the lesson that's due at the next session. And when they get together, they go over the answers, and they have prayer, and they ask how things are going, and then they go home until next time. And to accurately fill in the blanks and move from booklet 1 to booklet number 5 is viewed as discipleship. Now let me say that this is shallow, this is hollow, and it is very, I must say, very uninspiring. And while this may be one aspect of discipleship, it certainly is not its essence or its heartbeat. The role of discipler mentor expands the boundaries of what most people commonly think of discipleship. Much more is involved than simply checking to see if someone has filled in blank spaces correctly after looking up the scriptural references. In this level, the discipler mentor and mentoree enter into a relational process. Obviously, the discipler is a more experienced and more mature Christian than the mentoree. Jesus taught his disciples in the context of a relationship that was conducive for learning. And so, in like manner, the mentoree is discipled through the process of a relationship. One of the reasons discipling is found under this level is due to the great emphasis placed on the relational process. That's a key term. You see, it's much more than sending an individual home to do a lesson. It's much more than that. It is a relationship by which the mentoree not only learns the basics of following Christ, they need to learn that, but also learns things such as commitment, things such as attitude, things such as skills, things such as understanding that is necessary for a strong foundation upon which to build his or her faith. You see, we're talking more than merely a lesson and filling in the blanks. We're talking about a relationship where they understand the basics of following Christ, and we are expanding that concept from things such as prayer and Bible reading, which are good things, but we are expanding that to include learning that comes from the relationship, commitment and attitude and skills and understanding. It's a relational process. Not only would mentorees examine the biblical teaching on prayer, but they would also learn to pray by actually watching and actually listening to their mentor and then entering into prayer themselves. I like this. You see, they not only learn about giving to the Lord, that's a good thing to learn, but they don't just learn that. They learn to actually give under the accountability of their mentor. They not only learn about sin, they learn to recognize it, and they confess it together with their mentor. I like this. You see, we're not speaking of what many today call discipleship. We're talking about a relational process that is deliberate and that is intensive, which requires accountability. You see, that's why I said at the beginning of these lectures that mentoring really is the biblical concept of discipleship. It is discipleship redefined, and the reason we have to redefine it today is because we link discipleship up with a Sunday school class and with filling in the blanks to five booklets. And it is much, much more than that. Mentoring is the true biblical definition of discipleship. And in this relational environment, mentorees learn the understanding, they learn the commitment, and they learn the skills that are necessary, absolutely necessary and foundational for knowing and obeying Christ. You see, the relational process not only allows them to know it cognitively, but to also implement it practically, because they've watched their mentor practice it, and they've watched him or her model it for them. It's more than head knowledge, and it's more than heart knowledge. It's a combination of the two. It's knowing it and doing it through the help of a relational process. After years of pastoral experience, it is my humble opinion that the majority of those who make up our congregations have not been properly discipled in the manner that I am describing. Yes, they may have gone to a class, or yes, they may have finished a few booklets, but many have not been involved in the relational process with a great amount of accountability. Now, this opinion doesn't come from a scientific study or some research paradigm that I have constructed. It simply comes from my experience in ministry and my asking people how and when they were discipled. Whenever I offered courses on the basics of the Christian faith, scores of believers who had been Christians for years wanted to sign up. Why? Why would they want to do that? They've been Christians for years. Well, I'll tell you why. Because they didn't have it down. They had never really been discipled in a relational format. Some of them wanted more of the cognitive knowledge, and others had the cognitive knowledge but didn't have the relationship that helped them to implement it into their lives. They'd never really seen it modeled. They never had anyone help them practice it or teach them how to do it. But they had filled in plenty of blanks. I believe that there are at least four important reasons why so many in our churches yearn for what they should already have had. And the first reason why so many crave proper discipleship is due to the astronomical number of dysfunctional families in our society. We have more single-parent households now than at any other time in our history. America's families are breeding grounds for all kinds of fractured relationships. And because the relationships are so fractured, families no longer function in a normal capacity. As a pastor, I've seen firsthand a few of the things that induce broken relationships. I've seen things such as divorce, crime, gambling, alcoholism, laziness, mental illness, and lack of a work ethic that have damaged relationships severely. Because they don't know the bond of Christ, we expect these things to happen in the lives of non-believers. I mean, after all, they don't have the Holy Spirit living within them, leading them and guiding them. They're enemies of God. They're alienated by their sin. We expect that in their lives. We expect that to happen and to be an occurrence. But today, this is happening more frequently within the walls of the church. And it's frightening. In a humorous way, a cartoon in Leadership magazine caught the enormity of this problem. The pastor was showing a new couple around the church pointing out the various ministries. And as they peeked in on one group's meeting, it was obvious that there were only three or four people present, just a handful. And the minister said to the couple he was touring through the church, "And this is our newest support group, but by far the smallest." And on the door was a sign that named the ministry group, "Adult Children of Perfectly Normal Parents." With the increasing number of dysfunctional families in our society, many people, and this is in the church as well, many of them long for a stable relationship of trust. Not merely a relationship that will help them grow in the faith. I think they want that. But they also want a relationship that is a positive experience for them. A lot of our people come from broken homes, from broken marriages, that bring winces of pain when they think of the memories of the relationship. And they yearn for one of trust and support. And they want to grow in the faith as well. And what better way to meet that need than through a discipler-mentor relationship in the context of a loving relational environment? This is the end of number 8.